Chapter 6. Last discourse, and told me that he stood where he did before, that he had not been unfaithful to me in any one promise he had ever made yet, but that there were so many terrible things presented themselves to his view in the affair before me, and that on my account in particular, that he had thought of the other as a remedy so effectual as nothing could come up to it. That he thought this would not be entire parting us, but we might love as friends all our days, and perhaps with more satisfaction than we should in the station we were now in, as things might happen. That he durst say, I could not apprehend anything from him, as to betraying a secret, which could not, but be the destruction of us both, if it came out. That he had but one question, to ask of me that could lie in the way of it, and if that question was answered in the negative, he could not, but think still it was the only step I could take. I guessed at his question presently, namely, whether I was sure I was not with child? As to that, I told him he need not be concerned about it, for I was not with child. Why then, my dear, apostrophe says he, we have no time to talk further now. Consider of it, and think closely about it. I cannot, but be of the opinion still, that it will be the best course you can take. Apostrophe and with this, he took his leave, and the more hastily too, his mother and sisters ringing at the gate, just at the moment that he had risen up to go. He left me in the utmost confusion of thought, and he easily perceived it the next day, and all the rest of the week, for it was but Tuesday evening when we talked, but he had no opportunity to come at me all that week, till the Sunday after, when I, being indisposed, did not go to church, and he, making some excuse for the like, stayed at home. And now he had me an hour, and a half again by myself, and we fell into the same arguments all over again, or at least so near the same, as it would be, to no purpose to repeat them. At last I asked him warmly, what opinion he must have of my modesty, that he could suppose I should, so much as entertain the thought of lying with two brothers, and assured him it could never be. I added, if he was to tell me, that he would never see me more, than which nothing but death could be more terrible, yet I could never entertain a thought so dishonorable to myself, and so base to him, and therefore, I entreated him, if he had one grain of respect or affection left for me, that he would speak no more of it to me, or that he would pull his sword out and kill me. He appeared surprised at my obstinacy, as he called it, told me I was unkind to myself, and unkind to him in it, that it was a crisis unlooked for upon us both, and impossible for either of us to foresee, but that he did not see any other way to save us both from ruin, and therefore he thought it the more unkind, but that if he must say no more of it to me, he added with an unusual coldness, that he did not know anything else we had to talk of, and so he rose up to take his leave. I rose up too, as if with the same indifference. But when he came to give me as it were a parting kiss, I burst out into such a passion of crying, that though I would have spoke, I could not, and only pressing his hand, seemed to give him the adieu, but cried vehemently. He was sensibly moved with this, so he sat down again, and said a great many kind things to me, to abate the excess of my passion, but still urged the necessity of what he had proposed, all the while insisting, that if I did refuse, he would notwithstanding provide for me, but letting me plainly see, that he would decline me in the main point, nay, even as a mistress, making it a point of honor, not to lie with the woman that, for aught he knew, might come to be his brother's wife. The bare loss of him as a gallant was not so much my affliction as the loss of his person, whom indeed I loved to distraction, and the loss of all the expectations I had, and which I always had built my hopes upon, of having him one day for my husband. These things oppressed my mind so much, that, in short, I fell very ill. The agonies of my mind, in a word, threw me into a high fever, and long it was, that none in the family expected my life. I was reduced very low indeed, and was often delirious and light-headed. But nothing lay so near me as the fear that, when I was light-headed, I should say something or other to his prejudice. I was distressed in my mind also to see him, and so he was to see me, for he really loved me most passionately. But it could not be. There was not the least room to desire it on one side or other, or so much, as to make it decent. It was near 5 weeks that I kept my bed, and though the violence of my fever abated in 3 weeks, yet it several times returned. And the physician said two or three times, they could do no more for me, but that they must leave nature, and the distemper to fight it out, only strengthening the first with cordials to maintain the struggle. After the end of 5 weeks I grew better, but was so weak, so altered, so melancholy, and recovered so slowly, that the physicians apprehended I should go into a consumption. And which vexed me most, they gave it as their opinion, that my mind was oppressed, that something troubled me, and, in short, that I was in love. Upon this, the whole house was set upon me to examine me, and to press me to tell, whether I was in love or not, and with whom. But as I well might, I denied my being in love at all. They had on this occasion a squabble one day about me at table, that had like to have put the whole family in an uproar, and for some time did so. They happened to be all at table but the father. As for me, I was ill, and in my chamber. At the beginning of the talk, which was just as they had finished their dinner, the old gentlewoman, who had sent me somewhat to eat, called her maid to go up, and ask me if I would have any more. But the maid brought down word I had not eaten half what she had sent me already. Alas, says the old lady, that poor girl. I am afraid she will never be well. Apostrophe, well. Apostrophe, apostrophe, says the elder brother, how should Mrs. Betty be well? They say she is in love. Apostrophe, I believe nothing of it. Apostrophe, says the old gentlewoman. I don't know, apostrophe, says the eldest sister, what to say to it. They have made such a rout about her being so handsome, and so charming, and I know not what, and that in her hearing too, that has turned the creature's head, I believe, and who knows what possessions may follow such doings. For my part, I don't know what to make of it. Apostrophe, why, sister, you must acknowledge she is very handsome, apostrophe, says the elder brother. Eh, and a great deal handsomer than you, sister, apostrophe, says Robin, and that's your mortification. Apostrophe, well, well, that is not the question, apostrophe, says his sister. That girl is well enough, and she knows it well enough. She need not be told of it to make her vain. Apostrophe, we are not talking of her being vain, apostrophe, says the elder brother, but of her being in love. It may be she is in love with herself. It seems my sisters think so. Apostrophe, I would she was in love with me, apostrophe, says Robin. I'd quickly put her out of her pain. Apostrophe, what do you mean by that, son, apostrophe, says the old lady. How can you talk so? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why, madam, apostrophe, says Robin, again, very honestly, do you think I'd let the poor girl die for love, and of one, that is near at hand to be had too? Apostrophe, apostrophe, fie, brother. Apostrophe, says the second sister, how can you talk so? Would you take a creature, that is not a groat in the world? Apostrophe, apostrophe, prithee, child, apostrophe, says Robin, beauty's a portion, and good humor with it is a double portion. I wish thou hadst half her stock of both for thy portion. Apostrophe, so there was her mouth stopped. I find, apostrophe, says the eldest sister, if Betty is not in love, my brother is. I wonder he has not broke his mind to Betty. I warrant she won't say no. Apostrophe, they that yield when they're asked, apostrophe, says Robin, are one step before them that were never asked to yield, sister, and two steps before them that yield, before they are asked, and that's an answer to you, sister. Apostrophe, this fired the sister, and she flew into a passion, and said, things were come to that pass, that it was time the wench, meaning me, was out of the family, and but that she was not fit to be turned out. She hoped her father and mother would consider of it as soon as she could be removed. Robin replied, that was business for the master and mistress of the family, who were not to be taught by one that had so little judgment as his eldest sister. It ran up a great deal farther. The sister scolded, Robin rallied and bantered, but poor Betty lost ground by it extremely in the family. I heard of it, and I cried heartily, and the old lady came up to me, somebody having told her that I was so much concerned about it. I complained to her that it was very hard the doctors should pass such a censure upon me, for which they had no ground, and that it was still harder, considering the circumstances I was under in the family, that I hoped I had done nothing to lessen her esteem for me, or given any occasion for the bickering between her sons and daughters, and I had more need to think of a coffin than of being in love, and begged she would not let me suffer in her opinion for anybody's mistakes but my own. She was sensible of the justice of what I said, but told me, since there had been such a clamor among them, and that her younger son talked after such a rattling way as he did, she desired I would be so faithful to her as to answer her but one question sincerely. I told her I would, with all my heart, and with the utmost plainness and sincerity. Why, then, the question was, whether there lay anything between her son Robert and me. I told her with all the protestations of sincerity that I was able to make, and as I might well do, that there was not, nor ever had been. I told her that Mr. Robert had rattled and jested, as she knew it was his way, and that I took it always, as I supposed he meant it, to be a wild, airy way of discourse, that had no signification in it, and again assured her that there was not the least tittle of what she understood by it between us, and that those who had suggested it had done me a great deal of wrong, and Mr. Robert no service at all. The old lady was fully satisfied, and kissed me, spoke cheerfully to me, and bid me take care of my health and want for nothing, and so took her leave. But when she came down she found the brother and all his sisters together by the ears. They were angry, even to passion, at his upbraiding them with their being homely, and having never had any sweethearts, never having been asked the question, and their being so forward as almost to ask first. He rallied them upon the subject of Mrs. Betty, how pretty, how good-humored, how she sung better than they did, and danced better, and how much handsomer she was. And in doing this, he omitted no ill-natured thing that could vex them, and indeed, pushed too hard upon them. The old lady came down in the height of it, and to put a stop it to, told them all the discourse she had had with me, and how I answered, that there was nothing between Mr. Robert and one. She's wrong there, apostrophe says Robin, for if there was not a great deal between us, we should be closer together than we are. I told her I loved her hugely, apostrophe says he, but I could never make the jade believe I was in earnest. Apostrophe I do not know how you should, apostrophe says his mother. Nobody in their senses could believe you were in earnest, to talk so to a poor girl, whose circumstances you know so well. But prithee, son, apostrophe adds she, since you tell me that you could not make her believe you were in earnest, what must we believe about it? For you ramble so in your discourse, that nobody knows whether you are in earnest or in jest. But as I find the girl, by your own confession, has answered truly, I wish you would do so too, and tell me seriously, so that I may depend upon it. Is there anything in it or no? Are you in earnest or no? Are you distracted, indeed, or are you not? 'Tis a weighty question, and I wish you would make us easy about it. Apostrophe, by my faith, madam, apostrophe says Robin, 'tis in vain to mince the matter, or tell any more lies about it. I am in earnest, as much as a man is that's going to be hanged. If Mrs. Betty would say she loved me, and that she would marry me, I'd have her tomorrow morning fasting, and say, to have and to hold, apostrophe instead of eating my breakfast. Apostrophe, well, apostrophe says the mother, then there's one son lost. and she said it in a very mournful tone, as one greatly concerned at it. I hope not, madam, apostrophe says Robin. No man is lost when a good wife has found him. Apostrophe, why, but, child, apostrophe says the old lady, she is a beggar. Apostrophe, why then, madam, she has the more need of charity, apostrophe says Robin. I'll take her off the hands of the parish, and she and I'll beg together. Apostrophe, it's bad jesting with such things, apostrophe says the mother. I don't jest, madam, apostrophe says Robin. We'll come and beg your pardon, madam, and your blessing, madam, and my father's. Apostrophe, this is all out of the way, son, apostrophe says the mother. If you are in earnest you are undone. Apostrophe, I am afraid not, apostrophe says he, for I am really afraid she won't have me. After all my sister's huffing and blustering, I believe I shall never be able to persuade her to it. Apostrophe, that's a fine tale, indeed. She is not so far out of her senses neither. Mrs. Betty is no fool, apostrophe says the younger sister. Do you think she has learned to say no, any more than other people? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, Mrs. Murthwit, apostrophe says Robin, apostrophe Mrs. Betty's no fool, but Mrs. Betty may be engaged some other way, and what then? Apostrophe, apostrophe, nay, apostrophe says the eldest sister, we can say nothing to that. Who must it be to, then? She is never out of the doors. It must be between you. Apostrophe, I have nothing to say to that, apostrophe says Robin. I have been examined enough. There's my brother. If it must be between us, go to work with him. Apostrophe, this stung the elder brother to the quick, and he concluded that Robin had discovered something. However, he kept himself from appearing disturbed. Prithee, apostrophe says he, don't go to shame your stories off upon me. I tell you, I deal in no such ware. I have nothing to say to Mrs. Betty, nor to any of the Mrs. Bettys in the parish. And with that he rose up and brushed off. No, apostrophe says the eldest sister, I dare answer for my brother. He knows the world better. Apostrophe, thus the discourse ended, but it left the elder brother quite confounded. He concluded his brother had made a fool. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.